The Buford Ranch Pond is barely more than a puddle on the Laramie Plains, but it happens to be critical habitat for the Wyoming toad. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service released over 900 of these endangered toads earlier this month. Some say the Wyoming toad is the most endangered amphibian in North America. Wyoming Public Radio's Melody Edwards reports.
On the shore next to the Buford Ranch Pond, clear plastic tubs sit in stacks with little ordinary-looking brown speckled toads visible inside, climbing the walls, trying to escape.
Okay, so these animals are going.
And escape is exactly what a crowd of people, private landowners, conservation groups, and federal and state agencies have all gathered here today to help the toads do. U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service technician Elizabeth Mack passes out latex gloves and instructions.
You know, all you have to do is open up the tub and very gently take the toad and set it on the ground.
Don't step on them.
And don't step on them.
The crowd sets out to three separate release areas, a private ranch across the highway, the Mortensen Lake National Wildlife Refuge, where the last of the toad population was discovered, and this small pond owned by the Buford Foundation, an environmental education group. The crowd walks out onto the marsh, and Mac opens one of the tubs. 5-year-old Letty Newman peers in.
I've never seen a toad hop so crazy before.
And they do hop pretty crazy. That's because they were bred in captivity at a fish hatchery in Saratoga. And this is their first encounter with their natural habitat. Even before their decline, they only existed in the Laramie Basin. The hope is after today, they'll repopulate the area. With gloved hands, we begin scooping toads and placing them gently in the mud and grass.
Yeah, we'll just let one go. And
one makes a dash for the water and swims off.
You have a really nice frog kick, you know, or toad kick as you...
That's my dad, Jay, with the bad puns. Technically, this isn't the first time Fish and Wildlife have released Wyoming toads. Fish and Aquatic Conservation Director Greg Gerlich says it is the first time they've raised them to adulthood first.
They've stocked many, many thousands of tadpoles over a long period of time, and they've had very low success.
Gerlich says tadpoles didn't make it because these toads are a very sensitive species, and they often end up the canary in the coal mine for environmental threats.
They're very clear indicator species of things that are going on in the environment. Pesticides have an easy transport through amphibian skin.
Pesticides like those used in agriculture or to kill mosquitoes. Among the crowd are a few old toaders, as everyone calls them, people who've been studying this little toad for decades. It was UW zoology and physiology professor Bill Gern who tagged along with the late amphibian biologist George Baxter in search of the toad.
So in the spring of 1980, George and I started going to his favorite haunts to try to find toads, and we couldn't. And he became very puzzled at that time. He said, well, they used to be everywhere, and we couldn't find them anywhere.
Gern says the toad used to be so common, ranchers found them in their cowboy boots.
We walked the entire length of the Big Laramie from basically from Woods Landing to town and never found them. And so, it was very clear that they had disappeared.
A fisherman eventually found some on Mortensen Lake. The Fish and Wildlife rounded up the last 300 toads there and put them all in captivity. And that's when the search for what was killing them began.
They found that these toads were dying of a fungus infection, and that was big news.
The chytrid fungus, to be exact, an infection killing amphibians worldwide. But pesticides and modern irrigation methods likely whittled down their numbers, too. Across the highway, rancher and retired Fish and Wildlife employee Fred Lindsay released 300 toads on his land today, too. He says he uses old-fashioned flood irrigation that spreads out shallow water among willows. Perfect for Wyoming toads.
We have, at times, kept some of the irrigation water flowing longer than we normally would. And it pushes haying back just a little bit, but that's okay. That's okay.
But Lindsay says the Wyoming toad's ideal habitat is also ideal ranch land, which means to bring them back, they'll have to thrive on private land.
That's where people homesteaded, and that's where people raised their cattle in the winter and fed them in the winter. And it really means that the agencies have got to work with private landowners.
Lindsay says he knows a lot of landowners worry that when you have an endangered species on your property, the feds will butt in on your business. He hasn't had that problem.
We signed what's called a safe harbor agreement. And basically what that means is during normal operations, if we were to run over a toad or step on a toad, we wouldn't go to federal prison.
After today, Lindsay looks forward to hearing the sound of Wyoming toads breeding on his land. Just one of many species he hosts here.
Birds and toads, and moose, and deer.
I've heard sandhill cranes, too.
Oh, yes. They're probably down there walking out as we speak looking for toads to eat.
Right, they get a feast.
Yeah, I'm sure they get some, you know, but what the heck, the tough ones survive.
And with every single one of those 900 toads embedded with a tracking chip, Fish and Wildlife will be able to keep a very close eye on just how many do survive. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Melody Edwards.